You ready?
I'm ready whenever you are.
All right. It's been 5 weeks of the college football playoff rankings, and we still have no fucking idea what the playoff committee values as wins, losses. Who the fuck knows? CJ North, my co-host, and our favorite recurring guest, Colin Groves, joining us today to discuss. We're starting off right into it, into the college football playoff rankings. All I have to say is, what the fuck?
I mean, how do you have OU ranked at 3?
I mean, apparently if you beat any SEC team, it's automatic 4-spot jump.
I mean, come on. It's almost a slap in the face to a few different teams, right? OU for sure. But ultimately, you're going to rank a 2-loss team at number 2. Can you guys name the last time that happened this early on? Because I actually can't. I asked that, not rhetorically. I don't know the last time a 2-loss team was ranked 2 right now.
There's never been a 2-loss team in the college football playoff, ever.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen a 2-loss team ranked in the top, like, 3, 4, 5 before, like, after the postseason. I can't remember a date that has happened.
No. So you've got a 2-loss team at 2, which says something about the committee. But then they're basically telling you if you're undefeated, it doesn't matter. Not that I hate that part, because I do think you play a cupcake schedule, you deserve a cupcake ranking. But you're basically saying to Wisconsin and to UCF, sorry, doesn't matter. 2 losses, as long as you're playing harder people.
Alabama has played a cupcake schedule. Who the fuck has Alabama played? Florida State? Nope, they've been fucking garbage. I mean, LSU, their best wins have been, I can't even tell you one of their best wins because they haven't played anyone all year. Like, LSU lost to Troy. They just got thwacked by an Auburn team who lost to LSU, who lost to Troy. Like, I know that there's a lot of logic gaps in that, but just the simple fact that Auburn gave up a 21-point lead to an LSU team without a quarterback, and now they're number 2 in the rankings, just makes it, like, this committee is worse than the BCS because their recency bias is even crazier. Like, it's actually even crazier. It's like they forgot what's happened in the first 6 games of the season, first 8 games, first 10 games, because Ohio State had a 30-point loss to Iowa. TCU only lost to Oklahoma by 18, a top 5 team in the country essentially all year, and then at Iowa State by 7. It's getting crazy. This is the craziest ranking they've had yet, I think. Just simply because it doesn't make any sense. Like, I can't explain it. Besides the fact that the committee is just going around and giving massive fellatios to the SEC. Like, that's probably what – I wonder what their kickback is.
Well, you got to wonder. I mean, so if Georgia beats Auburn, does Georgia get in?
They have to.
And then if Wisconsin loses, does that mean Bama gets in too? Now we've got 2 SEC teams?
Oh, God. It looks like it, but I hope not. Honestly,
if Bama
gets in, I
will be so angry because they didn't – the whole reason we started this whole college football playoff was to get the champions of each conference in that deserve it. I mean, it's insane if you put another year with a team that hasn't won their conference championship. I mean, if you put in a non-conference championship, you're just throwing away conference. Why even have a conference championship?
Just go look at Nick Saban's old quotes, right? Nick Saban last year, you should win your conference championship. This year, guys, we deserve a shot.
Oh, it's incredible. Lane Kiffin. We're officially a Lane Kiffin podcast after today as well. I don't know if y'all saw his tweet, but it was absolutely phenomenal. We retweeted it, but Nick Saban had some comments about the media being rat poison because Alabama was feeding in or whatever, some Nick Saban hoodoo bullshit. And so Lane Kiffin puts that quote from last year you were talking about, referring to Ohio State in 2016, and then the quote that he said this year in a picture box and goes, can you rat poison yourself? Just absolute troll job on Nick Saban.
Lane Kiffin may not be it. An AD's favorite coach to hire, but he is gold for players.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Money.
He
honestly,
is a players
hot take.
Coach to the end.
CJ said this when we were talking earlier. Hot take, Lane Kiffin back to Tennessee. Let's see it happen.
I would love that.
That's what Tennessee needs at this point. But yeah,
and it should be. This is what I foresee. Tennessee just needs to tweet that old, you know, I think it's like that song, "I'm Coming Home," and just a picture of Lane Kiffin with the sunglasses.
Absolutely, or just at Lane Kiffin, you up 4 a.m.
Yeah,
4 a.m. tweet, you up.
That would be so fire.
But could you guys imagine, though, like, you're thinking of the college football rankings, right? This would be, like, if the equivalent, put it to the NBA. This would be, like, if LeBron had more losses than the Celtics, but they were like, you know what? We're going to go ahead and put you at a one seed.
That's what's happening. Like, it's crazy. This year, I hope, honestly, what I really hope happens is Georgia beats Auburn and Alabama still gets in and Georgia gets left out. That would be the most amazing thing in the world, to be honest, because then we'd have to be in an 8 or 16 team playoff because all the fucking hillbillies in Georgia would lose their fucking minds, and I would be all for it. I'd be on
that. What if Clemson loses?
It's a clusterfuck. I love it. It's a clusterfuck. If Clemson loses to Miami, I think Miami's an auto bid. They're a conference champion. You got to take them, but... I'm sure there's some sick fucking twisted scenario in the committee's head where Clemson loses, Oklahoma loses, Wisconsin loses, and you have Auburn, Alabama, and Georgia all in the fucking playoff.
And Ohio State.
Yeah, and Ohio State. They just screw out Miami in the ACC and put three SEC teams in Ohio State into the playoff.
They could do that, although they still love Clemson. They may sneak in there. They've had a thing for Clemson. But you're thinking if Miami beats Clemson – and Auburn does win, you have a two-loss number one overall team. That is absolutely absurd. Well,
but what about the head-to-head?
That's crazy. It's crazy.
But what about the head-to-head between Clemson and Auburn?
Yeah.
So you have Clemson, who beat Auburn earlier in the year, maybe sneaking in over the SEC championship. That would honestly be a gold mine if Miami and Clemson get in. Like, that would make me cum my pants on the spot. I mean, I can't say it any other way. That's how it would happen. Like, just, it would be phenomenal.
Oh my God.
Like, that would be hilarious. I don't think that would happen, but, like, it's not out of the realm of possibility. We honestly have no fucking idea what these rankings will look like next week.
No.
I mean, last week, the number one and number two, y'all were all over Miami, I remember.
Yeah, that was disappointing. For the podcast.
And disappointing. Who knows what could happen? TCU has a chance. I mean, not going to say too much, but TCU legitimately, if things get crazy enough, who knows?
Yeah, but what the fuck? What if somehow, let's talk through it. Like, what if either a 10 or 11 TCU USC somehow pops into the top four next week if fucking Auburn loses, Clemson loses, I mean, Wisconsin loses?
Auburn losing, I'm saying... You got Auburn losing. You've got
Clemson losing.
Clemson winning, actually. You get Wisconsin to win. That way you get some locks up top. You get Oklahoma losing. The problem is you're going to have to put in an SEC team. And, like, that probably means that Bama gets in as the three.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you got to put Georgia over Bama if they win the SEC championship. Well, you got to.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. Then you've got Georgia Bama. Pretty much.
I think the only shot TCU has, the only legitimate shot, is if somehow we go out and beat, you know, Oklahoma by like 28. That's the only chance.
Yeah, pretty much.
They bomb all the people under a certain IQ, and then they don't get to play football, so Bama can't play very much football at that rate.
Oh, some NCAA eligibility issues would be phenomenal right now. Just like,
yeah, scandal. We need a scandal.
Yeah, we need a scandal. That would actually make this season perfect.
A great SEC scandal would be phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But all right, so, I mean, we've talked about how having Stanford above UCF and Washington, crazy, going down there. I mean, it's just all a little bit absurd. But let's roll to our next. We talked about coaching carousel in the last episode a little bit. But some new rumors came out today, and I really want to get Colin's opinion on him as Oklahoma grad. Mike Gundy to Tennessee. What do you think about that?
I give that a 0.00% chance.
But they're paying.
He is an alumni of OSU. He has a mullet.
Mullet is perfect for Tennessee.
Oh, Mullet plays in Tennessee. Mullet will play in Tennessee.
You could run for governor with a Mullet.
OSU football days. This guy is diehard OSU. He takes his shirt off at OSU football rallies. This guy, it's a thing that they say you bleed the color of your school. This guy might actually bleed orange. That's how dedicated he is.
I agree.
OSU fans, I give it to you. You got to love a coach like that. He is so sold on that program. I don't think there's any way he bleeds a different color, shade of orange later on in his life.
Oh.
I think he is Oklahoma State hard. I just don't know what they're going to do because Mason Rudolph is the Landry Jones of another Oklahoma quarterback lore. And I don't know if they're ever going to get over that hump. But I think he's a great coach, and they'll give him whatever they want.
Well,
they've got a lot of alumni money, and they will pump it at him.
We're not a stats podcast, but I don't know the financials of the Oklahoma State University. But the number that Tennessee's throwing out, we are a money podcast, all about the cash. Tennessee, $8.4 million a year is fucking absurd. I don't know
That's
if Oklahoma State can match that. But let's say they can't match
What's that compared to Nick Saban?
Nick Saban's at like 9 or 10 only. 8.4 makes him like one of the top five highest players paid coaches in the nation.
Gary Patterson is top 10 at like 5.5.
He might double Lincoln Riley's salary with that. I don't know how – I think Lincoln's like the 4-5 range.
Yeah. This is what I think right here. I mean, this was Gundy's year to win the Big 12. Like, this is the best team he's ever had, and he lost 3 games. I mean, I don't know if you can recruit the level of talent at Oklahoma State to win a national championship. I just don't know if you can ever get to that point because you're playing against Texas, OU, TCU, Tech. I mean, you have so many schools that are going after the same kids. And, I mean, you're going to go to Norman over Stillwater. You're going to go to Austin over Stillwater. You might even go to Fort Worth over Stillwater at this point.
But you're not going to go to Lubbock over Stillwater, so
yeah, no way.
Texas Tech we can eliminate from that conversation because it's a garbage can of a place. If you've ever been to Lubbock,
such a tough call for. I mean, with that much money moving into the problem with Tennessee. Here's the thing: expectations are such a huge part of coaching, right? It's not just the X's and O's. It's not just winning 9 or 10 games. It's all about the expectations that are set ahead of time. If he goes to Tennessee, his expectation is win 10 games every year, 9 games your first year. Well, you got to play the SEC, which they still have 3 top 10 teams right now. Is he going to win 9 games? I don't know. He already has 3 losses in the Big 12. Even with whatever recruits he's going to get, expectations, and all of a sudden, he's not looked at as great of a coach. If he stays at Oklahoma State,
breaking news. Breaking news about Gundy. He is staying at Oklahoma State. Turned down a 6-year, $42 million offer.
Holy cow.
You can smell that money from here, baby.
Yeah, but he's staying at Oklahoma State. Confirmed.
Good for him. Love that. All right, so I guess if you're Tennessee, you're the dumpster chute getting turned down by fucking everyone. I think you got to go back to the old bay you know that keeps you warm at night. That 4 a.m. booty call, Mr. Lane Kiffin. Mr.
So
Steal Your Girl.
I got a question. Why are expectations at Tennessee so high? Why do they think they can go get anybody?
They used to be good in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, man. Tennessee was a baller program with Fulmer.
Yeah. But looking at it now, like,
wins this year? It's one simple answer. Those dumb fucking hillbillies don't know anything about anything. Football, sports, how to do taxes, fucking be a successful state besides coal mining. So they obviously think they're going to be the best at fucking football with their trash can of a state.
Too.
Tennessee's a trash state. It's literally a trash bag full of shit.
Their only saving grace is Nashville, which is its own state, really, inside the Tennessee borders, completely separate, seemingly. And the only thing about that is it's a bachelorette party central. So their entire state like tourism income may come from bachelorette parties. That's all I know about Tennessee these days.
Hey, that and whiskey will do it for you. You can get by.
And the whiskey in Kentucky is better.
That's true. All right. Well, that was,
And it's all called Tennessee whiskey.
Tennessee whiskey. Love it. What is Jack Daniels? What else is from Tennessee?
No Evan fucking Williams.
Idea, to be honest. Evan Williams. There we go. The finest of quality. All right, let's roll. Let's roll into our conference champions segment. We're going to pick every game for you. Probably going to be right. Don't hold us to it if we're wrong. We're going to start off with the Friday game. Stanford versus USC. Who do y'all got?
Give me the Nerds all day long.
Nerds all day long. Okay. Some yeah, high formation.
Throw like eight picks.
High formation.
They may not have the looks, but Stanford absolutely has academia, and they've got the football team this year.
And let's say, we could also say that USC might already be quaking in their boots because UCLA has become the perennial power in the Los Angeles area of the Pac-12 just by signing Chip Kelly.
Oh, for sure. No doubt.
So USC may be done. They may be done for the next 10 years.
Bring back scandals.
Colin, who do you got? You got Stanford or USC?
No, I've got Stanford.
Stanford? Absolutely. I do as well. We're all going hardcore in the Stanford bandwagon. All right, let's roll to another exciting one. This is actually, I think, will be one of the best games. It's a rematch, but wasn't one of the best games earlier in the season. But number 20, Memphis at number 14, UCF. Big game for the American. UCF, unbeaten, had a wild game last week against USF. Crazy shit.
That's an understatement. Man, that game was insane.
Insane. Absolutely insane. But if you've watched Memphis, Mr. Riley Ferguson, that dude can throw the fucking football.
He can sling the rock.
Sling the rock. Revenge game for Memphis. Let's hear it. What do y'all think? Who are you picking?
You've got a New Year's game on the line pretty much with the winner of this. So there's a lot.
Absolutely.
There's a lot to play for. You're also talking about, don't forget, that's a lot of money for a program, right?
A ton of money.
So there's a lot on the line. There's a lot of incentive. What, Memphis hung 70? They've got an aerial attack. And UCF was pressured last weekend in an in-state rivalry. I'm going to go Memphis, actually, on this. I like the Tigers coming in, being strong at the end of their schedule. And they can put up points against anybody. I'm a believer in offense, obviously. I went to OU.
I heard that on the offense. CJ, what do you think?
Well, I got Memphis. One, because I hate Scott Frost. Two, because I like Memphis's jerseys. And three, because UCF isn't a real college in my mind.
Not a real college.
I imagine CJ plays Madden like Tony Jefferson did. Tony Jefferson went from the Cardinals to the Baltimore Ravens because he liked how he looked in a Ravens jersey on Madden.
I mean, I might do that as well. I mean, jerseys, they're a very important recruiting tool these days.
Hey, look good, feel good, play good.
The Black Knights look pretty good in their jerseys as well. But I'm a huge Riley Ferguson guy. I'm betting this one's close. Revenge match for Memphis. I'm taking Memphis.
All three.
We're agreeing a lot right now. Hopefully we'll have some disagreements in a minute. We'll go with the hot one. We'll go Georgia-Auburn. Rematch from a couple weeks ago. Georgia got fucking embarrassed by Auburn, but you're playing in the state of Georgia this time. Kind of a big difference, honestly. This is the first Georgia SEC championship game in four or five years, if I remember correctly. Auburn's back as well. First time we haven't seen Bama in SEC championship game in fucking forever. But what do y'all think? Who do you got and why?
Colin, you can take this one first.
So, I know everything tells us to go with the hot team. Everything says, textbook, go with Auburn, right? They've got the strong defense. They've got a QB that is more than a game manager. They've got probably the best running back in the SEC right now. But I'm going with Kirby. I'm going Georgia.
Dogs.
I think they come back after the embarrassment that they were a part of last time. I think the defense pulls through. They may have the best linebacker in the whole country. And I think Auburn coming off that high, Georgia in their home state, I think they're so sparse. I think it's a really close game, maybe a last possession. But I think Georgia's got it. I think Georgia also has a little bit better special teams.
Georgia, go Dogs. All right, CJ, what do you got?
All right, I'm actually going to go opposite of that. I like Auburn in this one. I don't think Fromm is ready for the big lights. When the big lights were turned on against Auburn, he quaked and just shut down. Auburn's on fire right now. Stidham is just throwing the ball all over the field. I mean, if you can score on Alabama, you can definitely score on Georgia. So I'm going to go Auburn in this one.
Okay, so we're split. I'll tell you who I like. I'm going dogs on this one, and I'll tell you why. I don't think they did a good job running the football against Auburn in the first game. I don't think Alabama did a good job running the football last game. So I think if Georgia can execute, get their two backs going, I think they roll over Auburn. They shut Stidham down in the Georgia Dome. They're fired up. Kirby's going to have these boys ready. Go fucking dogs. Fuck Auburn.
Nick Chubb has been there for like 45 years at this point. 45. He's about to make it
literally.
Yeah, he's a 35-year-old man.
It feels like it. It feels like he's been there in college longer than I was. All right, we're rolling on. Another big game. Playoff implications, probably an auto lock bid. We got the U, our team, disappointed us a little bit last week, versus the Clemson Tigers. Looking good last week, rolling South Carolina, shitty SEC team. All right, Siege, lead us off. Who do you got?
This pains me to say it, but, I mean, Miami looked like straight hot garbage last week. They couldn't do anything. Rozier sucked. I mean, absolutely sucked. He got benched in the fourth quarter, literally benched. They benched their quarterback as an undefeated football team. Miami's kind of shaky right now. Clemson looked really strong. However, I'm taking the U because this is a U podcast and we gotta roll with our boys.
The U! Alright, Colin.
You're ride or die. You're Matt Berry's Kareem Hunt. I like it, but I'm disagree.
You're going with the Tigers.
I mean, Miami, look, I would love for them to make it. I would love an OU Miami matchup at some point. Just for the history sake of it, but and probably see the boss come out on the field. Clemson is so good, and Miami is the same as Notre Dame. They're overrated. They rely on turnovers. They rely on the hype. And at this point, this is in the season where talent shines, and they just don't have the talent that Clemson does. Clemson's defensive line, probably the best in the country. They're going to take advantage of that.
I'm gonna have to roll with the U on this one. We're a U podcast. We bapped them. I don't think they're gonna win by a lot, but I think they're gonna have an edge on them. Clemson has looked great, so this is really a toss-up game for me. It could go either one of two ways. Miami wins a close one, or Clemson just comes out and dominates the fuck out of Miami. Either one, I think Miami really overlooked Pitt, a well-coached team by Narduzzi, who had that team fired up. Clemson overlooked Pitt last year. Had a loss, their only loss of the season. I think Miami is this year's Clemson, comes out of it. The U is back. I want to see all those guys on the sideline. Ed Reed, Vince Wilfork, Jonathan Bush, Andre Mike Johnson, Irving, baby. Ken Dorsey, guys, Michael Orban, Warren Sapp. What?
Ed Reed giving another pump-up speech would be money.
That's what I want. That's what has to happen if the U wants to win. They better have everyone back on Saturday. Literally, top to bottom. Highsmith, whatever that fucking rapper was from like Two Live Crew, was that what it was or something like
yeah,
that?
You get a ball there.
Junior. Greg Olson.
Greg Olson, baby.
Edis.
The Seventh Floor Crew. Woo! Man, you got me excited for the YouTube videos. You got me excited for the YouTube videos.
Will probably come back.
Yeah, he has to. Honestly, I hope they get a new turnover chain. Bigger, stronger, more diamonds, all that shit. All right, we're rolling to the most boring game probably of Saturday, maybe of the year, Ohio State versus Wisconsin. Who do y'all have?
Do I have to pick?
I am taking the big, fat, white guys of Wisconsin. I think they're just going to run the ball down Ohio State's throat. Ohio State can't stop the run. I hate Ohio State. Go Wisconsin.
Colin, what do you think?
Ohio State wins, they don't make the playoff. I'm not sold on the Big Ten or the Pac-12. I think that they're just the tier two conferences at this point. The Big Ten is They may get great recruits, but there's just they don't have that it factor that you see in the Big 12, you see in the SEC, that you see in the ACC. They don't have it anymore, right? They're probably the hardest games to watch, not just because of their running, but they have spread offenses, but it just doesn't work for me. And, you know, I'm an eye test guy, and that's just what I'm going
with.
There we go.
I honestly think Wisconsin rolls Ohio State. I don't think Ohio State's a very good football team. They haven't really proven anything. Their 30-point loss to Iowa was atrocious, like actually literally embarrassing. They should have just packed up the pads for the rest of the season. Yeah, they've had a big win against Michigan State. They caught some momentum. But Wisconsin, like, underratedly is, like, the hottest team in the country right now.
Yeah.
They literally
haven't played anyone.
They haven't played anyone, but they're scoring points like crazy. Like, their offense is boring as fuck to watch, but their last four or five games, it's 45 points, 38 points, 24 points, 31 points. Like, they're hot. That's a hot take that they made the hottest team in the country, but I'm taking Wisconsin in a big one. They're going to piddle out in the playoffs just because they're not athletic enough to play with the teams that'll be in the top. But I think Wisconsin rolls Ohio State because I think Ohio State's fucking garbage, honestly.
Me too.
Have we heard anything more about JT Barrett and this cameraman?
Oh, well, considering there's no video evidence and he doesn't seem all that fucking hurt, I think that he's just being a little baby back bitch. Him and Urban Meyer together concocted a plan to give him an excuse against Wisconsin. I mean, I haven't seen anything. This investigation seems to be going very poorly for Urban. So he kind of just sounds like a whiny little bitch.
Yeah. I think Urban Meyer is going to fake a heart attack to try to get into the college football playoff.
Very possible.
He's going to pull the old Florida. I need to retire for health reasons. Just kidding. I'm going to coach Ohio State in 2 years.
You use that goodwill to get in. That's an interesting strategy.
This isn't a
takeover, but whatever. This year could be the year for it.
It could be the year for if. They love sneaking Ohio State in the back door, so you never know. All right, so
State are their biggest CFP. They love those two teams and Bama, of course. So those three, they would put in the top four. Yeah. Blind audition.
Oh yeah, it's an SEC Ohio State Penn State bukkake in the college football playoff committee these days. So you know, I mean, that's what they're doing. A lot of jerking off those teams. So. All right.
I wonder how much actual jerking off goes on in that room. Probably a lot.
Probably a lot. I would guess, I don't know, 50 jerk-offs a session?
At least.
I think that's an acceptable number. 13 dudes all in there. What, do you think they grab left or grab right?
I'm going left.
Left?
No, they're a weird crew.
They're a weird crew.
Now, this whole conversation is a little bit weird, but if they were going to do anything, you'd have to bring in the guys from Silicon Valley to write on the whiteboard.
Oh,
exactly,
man.
Mathematically, how would this work?
All right, now that we've talked about the sycophants of the College Football Playoff Committee, let's roll to the most exciting game of the weekend, the rematch, TCU coming back for blood. In Dallas Cowboys Stadium, huge game, going to be the most exciting, calling it here first, TCU versus Oklahoma. CJ, we'll let you start. Colin, you can rebuttal. And let's just talk about the game.
Oh, man. This is going to be an interesting game, Blake. It's going to be a lot of fun. I definitely think it's going to be a lot closer contest than we had you know, previous in the season where kind of Oklahoma blew the doors off of TCU in the first, you know, really in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And then TCU, you know, made it close a little bit in the second half because OU pumped the brakes a little bit and TCU's defense decided to not play like they've never played football before. I'm a homer. I think we're going to go out and we're going to right our wrongs from the last game. I think it's going to be close, and I think TCU edges it out about, I'm going 42-40.
Oh, TCU. Close game. No covers there. All right, Colin, what do you think?
Before I get on that, whatever happened to Kenny Hill?
He's back.
Why did he not travel with the team?
What do you mean?
Concussion.
Concussion, yes. Concussion protocol these days, very serious. Okay. Very serious stuff.
That's fair. That's fair. I thought he maybe stole crowd claws or something weird like that.
No.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just Johnny Manziel may have come back into his life a little bit. You never know.
Yeah, no more Kenny Trail. CJ made some good points. I disagree with all of them, but that's okay.
As you should.
OU is a first-half team. I was at the game last week. Look, we had six real offensive possessions the first half, touchdown on all six. The seventh, we got a turnover, kicked a field goal at the end of the half. Unstoppable. I mean, Baker's antics are what they are, but he's an SI cover guy now, which may go to, but those type of things I don't think go to his head. I think they fuel him. This was the first time, and I have been to a lot of OU football games. I've seen Heisman winners play there. This is the first time in my memory that the stadium has chanted a player's name multiple times, chanting Baker, Baker. It was unheard of for me. And you can just feel the atmosphere around the team. They have got something special this year. I've said it earlier this year, earlier on this podcast. I said, if there is a year for OU to win it since 2000, this is the year. It's open. We have a two-loss team ranked number two. This is the year for OU to do it. I fully believe that. They're a first-half team. There's no stopping them in the first half. They have got so many weapons. They go three or four deep at running back. They're about six deep at receiver if you include tight ends. The freshmen on the back end of the secondary have grown up tremendously. You've got linebackers that are actually fast and tackling, although they're small. Our defensive line can still use some help, but I mean, I think OU comes out very strong. I think TCU keeps it closer. I think the second quarter will be closer, but I'm going to say it's about 41-28 at the end of the day.
Okay. So I have to ask you one question. Baker Mayfield has been very emotional, shedding quite a few tears these last couple weeks. Do you think that he possibly has too much estrogen in the system to win a national championship?
I do. I do think that.
There's a lot of Twitter theories floating on around.
He's a crier.
I think they're possibly not giving him the non or the organic milk. Maybe they're just sticking a little extra estrogen in there so he can be a better team leader, pump up the crowd. I don't know. I mean, I think it may be a backfiring strategy. Usually you use testosterone to become better at football. Who knows, though?
They probably don't test for estrogen. But I think that the kid just has it, right? You watch him. Everybody watches him. You may hate it, but you love it, right? He brings something to the table that no other player in college football currently brings. It has that fight. He's got that mentality. He's got that dog personality. And, you know, maybe he's drinking more soy milk, soy protein than whey protein. I don't know. I don't care because he's winning and he's doing a damn good job at it.
Hey, I agree. I think this is a revenge game for multiple players on TCU. I think the TCU defensive line is going to be eaten this Saturday.
Yeah.
Boson is coming out firing. If he gets ejected in the first 5 minutes like last game, then I literally am going to the Big 12 office and burning it fucking down because those fucking refs are horseshit. Banigou, Boson, coming after Mayfield. Mayfield's going to make his plays. He always does. We're going to stop Rodney Anderson on the fucking swing pass and the running back vert. Or at least we better. We can't stop those fucking plays. It's over. We barely stopped it last week. Hopefully we can come back, play a little better on defense in the secondary. The bullshit suspension of Nick Orr, that's going to light the fire for the team. I think TCU comes out and goes and gets it. Close game. I'm giving it a little bit lower of a score. I'm going 31-24 TCU.
Oh, y'all are gonna try and play dirty again to get.
Oh, we're the cleanest team in the nation.
Y'all just got in a fight with Baylor.
Yeah, like those fucking criminal ass thugs started fighting with our well behaved players, and we had to show them how it's fucking done.
Well,
it's called self-defense.
Criminals.
In the state of Texas, we have a thing where if a man steps on your property, you can shoot him dead. And that's what he did. The Baylor criminals stepped on our property, and we shot him dead in that fight, and they punished us unfairly for it.
I don't know. Y'all usually play pretty dirty.
What do you mean? OU fan with OU offensive linemen throwing punches on the ground, holding people down. What do you mean? The boss was the dirtiest player there ever was. The Boz was the dirtiest player that ever has ever been in college football.
Boz was on steroids the whole time since he was 5 years old.
5 years old. Yeah, he's not like 3 feet tall. But y'all come talk to me Sunday. Y'all come talk to me Sunday. I'm okay with it. I appreciate it.
We got to have some good banter about it. It's exciting times. We could probably all do a better job than the committee does these days. Hashtag fire the committee. Let's try to get that trending on Twitter if things don't work out very well. I'm excited for a great weekend of college football. Are you going to the game Saturday, Colin?
No, guys. I'll actually be in Alaska.
Alaska? Oh. Damn. What are you doing in Alaska?
We're going on a little vacation up in Alaska. Nice. Going to go sled dogging under the Northern Lights.
Nice.
Oh, shit.
Sled dogging's a lot of fun. I've done it before. It's awesome. You'll enjoy it.
Damn. How fucked up do you have to be to go sled dogging? 10 beers?
Well, it's like 10 degrees is a high there, but they do have a little sled, like, cushion thing up front, so you can just kind of have your whiskey, have a Camelback full of whiskey, and sit down there, relax, he teaches you, it'll be sweet.
I like
We're a dog sledding podcast as well. Now.
We are a dog sledding podcast. That sounds like a dope time. All right, guys, it's been another episode of the Beer Bottle QBs podcast.
Been great.
Any signing off words for the fans?
Nothing? Just one.
Go Frogs. Go Frogs. Let's go. Go Sooners. Go Frogs mostly, though. All right.
All right.
That's a wrap.
Baker.
That's a wrap. Peace.
It's the holiday season, and Santa Claus is coming round. The Christmas snow is white on the ground, and when old Santa gets into town, he'll be coming down the chimney down.
He'll be coming down the chimney.